Let the minutes show that all board members are present, and we have approved the minutes electronically, as is our want. And we are going to ask for OSU Extension and 4-H update.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a busy time of year for 4-H. Holidays are big in the 4-H program. We have our Youth in Action event coming up towards the end of the month. One of the fun things this year about Youth in Action, where we build roughly 300 evergreen centerpieces for the Meals on Wheels recipients, is that we're bringing in a 4-H group from outside, from Lane County. We have a group that's traveling here to do some marine science studies, and will be joining us for the program. So we'll have another 12 or 15 kids in addition to our own 40 or 50 that are always there. So it'll be a very, very fun event. We're a little worried that we're taxing the Harney building, but we'll find out. The utilization of the Harney building continues to improve. Our after school program is now operating 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I am in the process of hiring a third person that will facilitate a Monday class for sure, and expanding to 3 days, and I have every intent of making that a 4-day program. We average 6 to 8 kids a day. A busy day is 11 or 12 kids. We on occasion only have 3 or 4 kids, but it's fun to see the kids there, fun to see the gatherings starting to happen, and certainly utilizing that facility more. In addition to that, we do have the Young Life group now using the building. We have their schedule, they're pleased with it, and it's nice to be able to accommodate them as well. So I think we're all in agreement that being able to use that facility and keeping kids on the grounds and making that open to the public to use is in our best interest, and it's fun to see that start happening. So thank you, guys. Not much in the 4-H world to report other than our service learning project coming up. Our clubs are meeting there as well. I did attend one of our new community club meetings yesterday, and it was fun to see the kids set up in their office proceedings and practicing parliamentary procedure, and it's great leadership development for those kids. So again, thank you for accommodating all of those requests that we do. I have show and tell, but I think before I jump up and pass these out, I'll let Michelle talk about the fair logos and some fair business.
Yeah, so I have a quick show and tell. So as part of the whole process of rebranding the Commons and really reinventing the fair and so forth, we were talking, and also as we get the finesse of the relationship with OSU Extension and the fair and so forth down, it seemed important that we have a logo that represent the fair every year versus kind of switching it up as we change the artwork for the fair. So this is what I was proposing. It's really along the same lines as what we did for the Commons and what we put on the top of those tents that got printed. So it's the Lincoln County logo, and we just added the fair under it in the font that we've been using in all of the different artwork that we've used so far. So if you're in agreement with that, we'd like to use that on things like letterhead, which is what you see behind that, and sort of the way that we're branding what we do in the name of the fair. So just wanted to make sure that you were on board with that being the representation on the website, things like that, and on paperwork that we send out.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the only people that would really have any say or objection would actually be the Board of Commissioners, because this is the Lincoln County thing, so mm-hmm. The Board of Commissioners is okay with this. I'm certainly okay with it.
Likewise.
I like it.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. I will also get. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Catched up on you. I'll also report that Michelle and I met for the full day on Monday with Pamela Rose, the Oregon 4-H program leader, and talked a lot about the logistics of how to a lot along the lines of what Mr. Belmont and I have been talking about as well. How do we clean up this relationship? And I think we all came away feeling like there is a clear and clean path forward. And I guess I haven't had a chance to to talk to Wayne yet, but I'm just reiterating that the work that he did with the MOU for 2016, they're pleased with, and the incidentals that we've talked about ways to sort of make that relationship a more formal relationship, please the university as well. So I think we're finally, instead of this kind of touch and go, you know, yeah, we think we're okay with that, yeah, go ahead and do it, but I think we're finally at a point of saying, yes, this will work, and let's get it formalized. So that was pleasing for us after, you know, really 18 months of sort of touch and go, and, you know, do we have the blessing or do we not? Can we do this? Can't we do that? And I think we're finally at the point of saying, yes, this is something that's in the best interest of all of us and the university's on board, where to date I hadn't really felt that solid about that. So I'm happy about that. Yeah. Show and tell. This is our bleacher discussion. You'll see that you have a picture of the rodeo arena and some chits. Your chits represent different sizes of bleachers. It's probably best to start with page 2. That is the
calculation that Jim Beisman asked for, cost per seat, to get those bleachers here and erected. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which, I created the map and the chits to play with different options before I did the calculations. And if you look at the calculations, it's probably fairly clear that at $111 a seat, the slightly used bleachers in 45 feet are hands down the best price per seat by a significant margin. But keeping that in mind, you can take all of those colored pieces that I gave you and spread them out around the arena in any configuration that you would like, and look at the different formats that we might be able to use there. The long box at the east side of the arena represents the 135 feet of permanent bleachers that we have erected there, so they're pretty stationary. The two dashed boxes at the west side, those are our 20-foot transportables that we currently have that can really be moved anywhere. That's just the current location of them.
Now, are the chits to scale?
The chits are to scale.
Cool.
Plus or minus the margin of error on my cutting that you will notice.
Well, yeah. For all intents and purposes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, close enough for cowboy math. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. And so what I gave you there are the option of two 45-foot sections, which are 300 seats each, or four 27-foot sections, which are 170 seats each. Then I also gave you those two 20-foots that we already own. Those are the red chins. And those are roughly 50 seats each, 45 to 50 seats each.
And that's, but you've already sketched them on the drawing.
I've sketched where they currently are, but in case you want to move them around elsewhere, I gave them to you just to kind of fill in the blanks.
Well, the real obvious question is that since the 45-footers not only are considerably cheaper per seat, but their 300 capacity as opposed to the 27s at 108, why in heaven's name wouldn't we pick up the slightly used 45-footers?
I would imagine unless there's some kind of challenge with setting them up.
Set up is no problem. They are amazingly quick to set up. Storage is not much problem. Of course, they're longer, but in my mind, it's a no brainer.
Would they fit in a pod?
They're fundamentally all the same metal construction. Yeah. I mean, so in terms of like exposure to weather or whatever it is,
no difference in durability.
It doesn't matter in those terms.
Right.
It's just in that sense, they're all the same.
Okay. Yeah, they clearly are.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a
Beisman
question? Can you do a one-ton pickup to haul?
Yeah. Either one of them, a one-ton truck, a sturdy one-ton truck will pull them. Something like a diesel dually will pull them. A three-quarter-ton truck would pull the 27s, but a full-size one-ton diesel, Ford, Chevy, Dodge will pull the other ones.
Well, let's ask this question. I mean, assuming you buy them,
I mean, once we get them here, are we going to move them around at all that they actually need to be towed?
I would expect the only reason that we may move them would be to, if we wanted to, we had the discussion about potentially maybe storing them in Toledo or someplace where it was drier during the winter months. I would think that would be probably the only place that we might move them. If somebody wanted to rent them, as Washington County has expressed interest, that movement would be up to them, and they would, you know, they would come with their own tow company, likely.
Well, I can tell you right now, some place in the county fleet, we've got one ton dually or whatever it's going to take to go and move 45 footers.
Yeah.
That's not an issue. You may have to pay the mileage or something on where that rig comes from. But I guarantee you, we got a rig with the ball.
Yeah.
Usually, what happens is we buy the trailers and then we have to spend another $80,000 on a vehicle.
On a truck to move them down. Yeah.
There's a little inside joke with Wayne.
Yeah.
Department him and I. The fact is, in this case, we've got the rig, Wayne. Don't worry.
Yeah. Departments which will not be named have purchased trailers and then said, "Oh, we don't have anything to tow this with. Can we get help from Department A or Department Z?"
It was worse than that. They didn't have anybody qualified to drive the rig in the first place.
Right.
But if they had, we have, for instance, one-ton flatbeds in the Parks Department. So we're perfectly capable of moving.
And if we're talking just about moving them to Toledo, we probably could do it with the 3/4 ton pickup that's currently sits on the fairgrounds. If we're talking about a short run with no major grades, if you're hauling them over the coast range or that sort of thing, you want something a little stouter. But so, just to move them locally, probably even the 3/4 ton truck would do it.
Well, just as a, without digging into it, I would tell you just from Wayne will understand why. I'll tell you, from our standpoint, if we buy this and they're moved, we will want them moved by an appropriate rig with an appropriate qualified driver.
Yeah.
Even if we need to go and, like, say, hire the Parks vehicle or whatever it is, and that has to do with our liability in case there's an accident, that kind of thing. We certainly have that capability from the county fleet, but if they were moved, at least from my standpoint, I want to move it in that manner.
Yeah.
You don't just let somebody hook onto them and take them away. Now, Washington County rents them.
Yeah.
And that responsibility comes theirs.
Right.
For us.
Yeah.
We rent them in time being of the essence.
Okay. You want a formal motion?
Yes, I would.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move. I don't know, how many sets are we going to
Well, here's my recommendation if you want to follow this quickly. Yeah. If you overlay the two blue 45 footers on the north end of the west side of the arena over the top of where those 20s are, put the two 20s at the end of that, we really have, at that point, we've got equal bleachers on both the east and west side. We're missing some on the south side, but that's away from the chutes anyway. It gives us seating capacity for 1,300.
So your answer is two?
Two 45s, two used 45s does it.
Do we have the money? If we buy two of these slightly used 45s,
$67,000.
That is per each, the
33 each, correct.
So we're into this per $67,000.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we authorize the purchase of two Champion slightly used 45 foot long bleachers at a total purchase price of $67,000.
Plus whatever it may take to move them here.
Yes.
The shipping from Champion, shipping was included.
Yeah.
Okay. There's, yeah.
Okay. But plus any incidental expenses associated.
All right. Second.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's all I have.
All right.
Unless you have any questions.
No, I just would say that, ask the question, how long do you intend to use the word new?
New Lincoln County Fair? It's funny because we talk about that amongst ourselves a day. And the short answer to that is, Wayne, Frank, as long as we can get away with it.
Okay.
When is expected delivery?
I don't know that. They wanted us to order by the first of the year. I suspect as soon as we give them a PO, they're going to be in transit from Gulf Coast to Florida.
Well,
I would think we might have them by the first of the year. As long
my point is, we're not going to wait a year for them.
No. I think they're in stock, no waiting.
All right, great.
Yeah.
I don't have to assemble them, do I?
No, that's why they got.
Is there some assembly required?
Yeah, the last ones had wheels too.
These are on a trailer ready to go, and they've already been used, slightly used anyway.
So they have to be together.
They should come no different than the sets we got from Washington County at Fair.
I like it.
So, all right. Yeah. We're shifting to the RFP master plan update.
Fair Board members, we solicited proposals for the master plan and for the exhibition building and ancillary facilities, the professional services. Interestingly enough, at the close of the time frame, we only received a single proposal, which was not necessarily unusual from what I've been hearing from other places out there. There's a lot of work going on out there. This was a pretty broad scope of services. We're asking for a lot of different things, so it's not unusual. The committee that we had assigned to review this have met and has reviewed the proposal. And I'll let Mr. Biden talk a little bit about some of the details and information there. He was part of the committee today. In essence, and I've supplied you with a copy of the proposal, we find that the proposal meets the general requirements that we set forth in the RFP. We do feel like there are some areas that could be revised. And hopefully revised with costs going downward. One area, specific area, is we asked for a very robust public process, and they gave us more than robust. I think that as we counted up the number of meetings they had in here, there's really far too many meetings, which is unusual. I don't know that I've ever looked at a proposal that had more meetings than we needed, rather than fewer that we needed. So we want to sit and talk to the proposer about some revisions of that. We also, the sequencing...
Mr. Chair, could I just comment on that point of the public meetings? Yeah, in reading the document last night, that was one of the thoughts that I had, especially given the fact, I mean, I know we're now, almost 10 years out on the Blue Ribbon process, but the LRS ECO was just, 2 years ago, and the Don Mann public process was just last year, so I just think it's important to observe, for the record, that there have been very recent opportunities for folks to weigh in.
Okay, in the interest of cutting to the chase on this for time, I make the following comments. One is that you'll notice that there's actually 11 firms that have been brought into this proposal, and that's because of the unlike a lot of construction projects, we have a very broad scope here, not just the building, but landscaping and business plan and all those other things. So you've got actually, I think it's 11 firms that these people are proposing to work together. And one of the things that has done is you look at the fees and you say, gee, the fees look pretty high. But you need to remember that we're not just asking them, for instance, to design a building. We've wrapped up so many different things in this that I'm not surprised that the fee schedule looks like it does. Lastly, we did have some questions. Wayne mentioned public meetings, but there's some other things. The plan at this point is, and we reserve the right in the RFP, we're going to ask the principal players to come down and meet with us. We're going to interview them. We're going to talk about some of that, ask for some clarifications on some other things, and then next month, I believe, we'll be prepared to make a recommendation to the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners. Yep.
All right. So are we in a position to approve?
I think the consensus would be to authorize us to move forward.
Okay. Just to get it on the record, could I make a motion that Fair Board authorizes, what would you call the review committee? That authorizes the review committee to move forward on negotiations with the 11-firm consortium that submitted its master plan proposal for design of the exhibit hall and ancillary facilities.
Can I modify that slightly and just say authorize us to take the next steps, which would be an interview with the firm, and then make a recommendation from there. We will actually do.
Okay, I'll amend my motion to reflect what Mr. Bison said.
Where does the county commission fit into this?
Ultimately, they would actually enter into the contract this, so... make sure that they're aware of that what's going on with this.
So what's being proposed is in sequence?
Yes.
Okay.
So we will do the interview and clarify the things that we wish and revise or whatever it is. then we will make a recommendation to the Fair Board, and then the Fair Board will make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners. That will be the sequence of events.
Very good. Well, looks like we have a motion. Is there any further discussion?
I'll second this amendment for the record.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Okay.
Unanimous? All right. Very good. We'll look forward to more on that. So let's go to the county staff update.
Just have a few notes on the grounds. We are going to be doing some ditching to alleviate some flooding areas around the east side of the exhibit hall. So just have folks watch out for that. We have a small sinkhole in the animal shelter field, adjacent to the animal shelter. I've packed some more fines and rock into it for the now. We're monitoring it. Just want to watch it so that it doesn't become a trap of any sort. But we know what it is, we know where it is, how deep it is, and it will be probably summer before we can get in and dig it up and get it fixed.
Do we know why it is? That a sewer line or something?
It's a drain water that comes off the creek behind Public Works.
Okay. So it's one of those things that the surveyor's office died down some couple of years ago. We went in and tried to locate all the...
It's actually...
We know what it is, where it is.
The outflow is pretty close to a manhole that we know exists. So
Okay. It's
just... we just keep an eye on it so that it doesn't become a hazard to anybody. But it's flagged, it's coned, and it has a 2-foot pile of fines and rock on it.
How deep is it? How deep's the line there, do you know?
If I'm not mistaken, we're looking at 18 feet.
Okay.
It's really deep. That's part of the problem of getting it dug up, is it's going to take a major excavation to get at it.
Right, and we need to get well away from it then.
Yeah. That'll be a pretty good hole when we're done with it. It's much like the one that appeared in the fairgrounds right next to the
hole right by by the main exhibit hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know where a lot of this stuff is, and so these things are not a surprise. This isn't something.
No. It's propped up a couple of years ago. We packed it, and it didn't surface again until this last deluge we had. The overwhelming water just finally broke some of that loose again. So
was it just like 4.5 inches of rain on Thanksgiving Day alone?
Almost five. I happen to have a nice day with Mother's Day in my place. Not really that one day we had my place and sweat stuff like 4.14 inches.
Yeah.
Of rain. So yes, we had a lot of rain. Yes, and I'll also tell the Fair Board, you know,
it hasn't moved since. So I'm thinking it's only when we get extraneous rains like that.
But digging a hole 18 feet deep out there is not going to be a small cost to bear. I mean, Warren looked out of that.
All right.
So that was my only update.
And yes, we're going to want to do it in the
Yes.
Do
you know anything about the status of the pick of the litter or any sense of where they are in the process of moving?
I'll have to defer to Wade on that.
No, it's fortunate for the last communications you got is the last thing we've heard.
Okay.
And when we do, when they are out of there officially, do we have anything that we plan to do?
We'll need to have some discussion about that.
Okay.
I had a tentative plan for moving 4-H activities over there.
Yeah, moving that maybe
so that I could work on the Hardy Street building.
I think part was thinking the master plan will also address, you know, kind of the long
term
usage.
I guess what I'm getting at is, if anything, between now and January 12th, do we anticipate anything that might have to come to the board? No? Okay. All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
The only thing that I'm going to go and ask is that with regard to the sinkhole, that we authorize Jack to make sure he does whatever is necessary to protect the public and so forth. I mean, 18-foot deep hole, that's... I'm not talking about my I just want to make sure Jack knows that he's taking whatever steps he needs.
We're gonna. My plan is I'm gonna put another 3 foot of rock on it, and then we're gonna put. I've got 6-foot fence panels, and we'll just basically box it with a 6 foot.
Depends at all.
And we don't have any activities booked for that property?
No, but I do have the kids every day as they migrate to and from school. They'll cut that field. And
sure, so you want to make it as well protected as you can.
Yeah. The huge problem is with it being that deep, you don't necessarily know what's underneath there. You can walk out and step on something and all of a sudden find yourself 18 feet down in the hole.
Yeah.
So we need to fence it well back, keep people away from it.
Totally makes
take
sense.
Those kinds of steps. I just want to make sure Jack knows that he's authorized to do
totally.
That.
Okay, very good. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we are adjourned.